In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Lazarus, come forth. Children, if you poke your nose outside this morning, perhaps it was already this way when you came into school earlier, you'll see that it's sprinkling just a little bit off and on. A poet would say, the sky is crying, that heaven is weeping a little bit. And that's what we're thinking about today, this cold, wet morning once again, the first day of spring, though, how 2 weeks from today is Good Friday, and how that truly is the spring, the Easter of our souls, to rise again from the dead of all of our sins. Everybody is sort of starting the Mass today by crying. Everyone's weeping. You see, there would be the procession that would take you to the right church called the Church of St. Eusebius, and that's where the Mass was said today. And he's the saint who wouldn't go, he was a priest, and he wouldn't go along with the heretics who said that our Lord was not God. And so they said, we'll show you, and they locked him up in his room. And once he ran out of food and he had nothing left in the refrigerator, the cupboards were bare. Well, then he starved to death. That's what the heretics did to him. And his feast day comes just before Our Blessed Lady's Assumption into Heaven each August. And he's our saint. Well, to get to his church in Rome, children, you had to walk by this big cemetery. It was the main pagan cemetery of Rome. So we're thinking about graves and death, the death of paganism, actually, but just death in general. And sometimes when the people walked by that cemetery, they saw that there were burials going on and some people were weeping over the grave. And our Lord comes into this scene for the pagans and for the Jews and for you and for me too, and he says, do you believe in me, credis hoc, that I'm the resurrection and the life? Because that's the one essential question. That's what really matters. Now, we have a long Mass today, so sort of steel yourselves, children. We have a nice story for the epistle and a nice long story for the gospel that Father will be singing at the altar. And in both stories, epistle and gospel, there's a mother and there's a boy or a son who died, and then there's a prophet. And the prophet groans and prays and raises the dead one back to life. The mother in the gospel is actually the two sisters of Lazarus, our Lord's dear friend. But they stand for Holy Mother Church. But there's an actual mother in the epistle story. And then the prophet, well, that was the Old Testament prophet. And what he does to raise the dead son back to life, he's the son of the lady who was taking care of him. And remember, he had a little room in their house all fitted out for him. Whenever he came by, he knew he could always stay there, and she would take care of him. Well, the prophet is told by God to stretch himself three times over the dead boy. Three. That's an important number, isn't it? The Blessed Trinity. And when you're baptized, Father pours the water and says the three names, the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And that's how souls that were dead with original or actual sin are raised up again to new life. That's part of Easter, too, and we're thinking about that. Then comes the gospel. And in the gospel, our Lord, to start with, is having a meal with his apostles, and he gets the word that his good friend Lazarus, because Lazarus was a bit like Lazarus and his family, Mary and Martha, they were a bit like this lady in the Old Testament story. That is to say, they were confidential friends. In other words, our Lord trusted them 100%. And if the Jews got very sort of bitey and vicious and mean and everything, he could always go to their house and he could just rest and relax, and Martha would fix him a nice dinner, whatever his favorite was, and take care of all the apostles, and Mary would be praying and listening to our dear Lord, and it was very good for everybody to kind of get away from the mean Jews. Well, he gets a message. See, back then they didn't have text message or anything, but somehow they got the message to him without, you know, having the phones around. And he gets the message, and the message says, come quickly, your dear friend is sick. And so the apostles are thinking, he's going to go right away, we're going to go to Bethany, which is a little town and a suburb of Jerusalem, the holy city. Only they don't leave. And our Lord keeps on talking, and they do this and that. And the apostles are wondering, when are we going to go take care of Lazarus? Because he's sick, and he would need our Lord to make him healthy again, to work him a miracle. And certainly he would. But our Lord never goes. He waits. He does that sometimes with us children. We pray, and we pray, and we pray, and we pray, but he doesn't seem to answer our prayer. And somebody gets worse, or somebody gets sick, or someone who's sick just dies. And we think to ourselves, well, why didn't our Lord come right away? And why didn't we get our miracle that we're praying for? Well, because our Lord's got something better in store for us. Only we don't always see it right away. Sometimes we have to wait, and even wait a long time, to know what our Lord's plan was for us. So they're waiting, and then they get the word, well, Lazarus has died. And our Lord is very sad when he hears that, because they were good friends. And he says, okay, now we're going to go. And so when they get there, by the time they get there, Lazarus is dead and buried, and he's been in the tomb for 3 days. And the Jews would visit the tomb each day for an octave for 8 days afterwards, and people would come to the house and eat things, and like they do today for a wake, and give their sympathy. When our Lord gets there, then he has a conversation with Mary Magdalene and another conversation with St. Martha, and he tells them about believing in him because he's the resurrection and the life, and how that's very important to do that. And then finally our Lord says, well, show me where he's buried. And so they go out to the grave, and he's buried, as our Lord will be buried, in a sepulcher, which is all like a cave carved out of stone. And inside, that's where they put the body, and the body was all wrapped up in a shroud, or like bandages, all tight, the way they wrapped up babies, remember? There's a similarity there. We saw that at Christmas time. The babies, when they're born, are all wrapped up to keep them sort of warm and comfortable. Well, that's how dead bodies were wrapped, too. So Lazarus is inside in a tomb made out of stone, and there's a big stone that's rolled to the entrance of the cave or the sepulcher to shut it. And all the Jews are there. And when our Lord gets there and he sees them all sad and they're all weeping and everything, he starts to cry too. And everybody is wondering, well, how come our Lord is crying? Because he's God and he could do a miracle if he wanted to. Well, our Lord's crying because Lazarus was his good friend and he was sad. And our Lord had friends, too, and the saints, you know, like St. Francis, they had dear friends, too. And they cried when people died whom they loved. St. Francis de Sales, for example, he cried quite a bit when his mother died. So that's a normal thing. And besides, if you see one person who's sad and who's crying, it kind of makes you want to cry, too, a little bit out of sympathy. And our Lord's Sacred Heart is full of sympathy for us and for all of our sorrows. But our Lord is crying most of all because he's thinking, all these poor people, so many of them, they don't understand, and they won't even believe in me, that I have the power to bring them back to life in their souls, and they could be happy with me one day forever in heaven. That's why our Lord came to this earth, to give sanctifying grace, so that one day we could rise from the dead, body and soul, and be happy with our Lord forever and ever in heaven. But there are a lot of people who just want to stay in their sins, or they don't really believe in our Lord, and they're like that Lazarus, or like a baby, all wrapped up tight with these kind of like bandages, and the swaddling clothes, or the shroud of the tomb, and they can't really move. They're sometimes just paralyzed, or afraid, or they're lazy, or they just won't believe in him. And our Lord's very sad when he sees souls like that. He needs you to pray, because if you pray and offer up sacrifices, you're helping him to unwrap, to let go some people that are all wrapped up and they can't move one step towards him. Remember that our Lord, at a funeral mass, our Lord always tells us this, what he told Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he be dead, yet shall he live. Do you believe this? That's the question. Do you believe this? Jesus wants to ask everybody, well, do you believe that? I have overcome death and sin. And I can, no matter how bad it looks, I'm our Lord. I can help things out. Well, that's an important consideration for us and for everybody else. It doesn't matter how sad people are, if they're wounded or if they've sort of given up hope and they're in despair. It doesn't make any difference. Our Lord can do everything because he's our Lord. He's Almighty God. And we, at Mass today, we say with St. Martha the words that she said to him, first of all, yes, Lord, I have believed that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I really do believe, and everything is going to work out. But I've got some work to do for my own soul. Only 2 weeks left till Good Friday, and then it's Easter Sunday after that. I've got some work left to do. There's some people that I know, and maybe a little bit even me, all wrapped up tight, all tied up. We can't get to Jesus. How can I help? When our Lord raised Lazarus from the dead, children, he was alive again, and then our Lord saw him, he was all tied up with the burial cloths, with the shroud, the bandages. And he said, somebody unwrap him. He didn't do it. He waited for the Jews that were there to do it. In other words, you have to do your part. You must help out our dear Lord. So for there's a lot of sinners out there, children, and somebody needs to unwrap them, and that would be your job. How do you unwrap somebody? By your prayers and by your sacrifices. What's a really powerful time to pray during Mass? Who knows? Two times in particular. At the consecration, when you see Jesus lifted up on the cross, when Father lifts up the sacred host and the precious blood and the chalice, and in between the two consecrations. Don't waste that time. That's a time to mention lots of names and lots of petitions. It's so powerful. That's the first time, consecration. Second time, communion time. When you receive our dear Lord in Holy Communion, don't be wasting your time and looking around and thinking about this, that, and the other thing. No, no. Have your head in your hands and be praying and thinking and telling our Lord all of the people you want to pray for and everything you want to tell him, because that's a very holy, powerful time. Remember those two times, and you can be like our Lord's at this miracle, today's Mass. You can help him by unwrapping some souls. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.